Bibles this morning to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read a portion of scripture taken from the second chapter, and I want us to notice a phrase found in this reading lesson. The phrase is the day of visitation, the day of visitation. I begin reading in verse 11 from chapter 2. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation," that's having reference to your life, how you live your life, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." In this reading lesson, there's a statement that I want us to observe. It is the statement, "day of visitation." Now, these verses talk about us showcasing the glory and grace of God that we've experienced. That in living the Christian life, in doing what God has commanded us to do, those that are lost and in sin, referred to here in this passage as the Gentiles, that they will in the day of visitation glorify God. Now, our living the Christian life is very important to the success of the gospel. That's what these passages are teaching. That the way the church behaves, the way it acts, the way it lives, its conversation, or the way it lives before the world determines a lot of impact on those that are lost and in sin. The day of visitation. Now, I remember the day of visitation. I remember when I was a young boy. I was very, very young when I first encountered a visitation from the Lord. When I moved from being under the grace of God and what might be referred to, or what we refer to, as a time when we were in innocence, when I wasn't accountable for my sins, when I moved from the state of innocence to a state of accountability, I remember right then and there, I received my first visitation from the Lord. I was in an old Oldsmobile. We were driving down 65. And I was, I'm not even sure how old I was. I was very young. But I was in the floorboard acting like I was asleep as we traveled that night from Indianapolis to Franklin, Kentucky. And I remember there in that automobile receiving a visitation from the Lord. The Lord's Spirit was working in my life, causing me to realize that I was suddenly accountable for my sins. Right then and there, if I would have died, I would have went to hell. A few seconds prior to that, I believe I was covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, not accountable for my sins. During that transition, I received a visitation from the Lord. It was the day the Lord visited me and let me know that I was accountable for my sins. Now, some of you may recall that day in your life where you were accountable for your sins. Some of you may have realized it in church or various places. When you think about this word visitation, the Greek word is episkio, which means the act of visiting or being visited for any purpose. The act of visiting or being visited for any purpose. Usually with the notion of inspecting conduct, of inflicting punishment, or of conferring grace. Now, this definition is a theological definition used with respect to this word, Greek word, visitation. And when you think, when you ask yourself the question, what is the day of visitation? It's a very wonderful phrase. It's used repeatedly in Scripture. And I want to run just a few cross references, kind of get our minds and hearts focused on this subject. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 3. Let's notice just a few passages with regard to some of the Old Testament references. Where this phrase originated is probably found here in this 10th chapter of Isaiah and verse 3. And when you look and examine where God visits in the Old Testament, usually He visits for two reasons. One is for judgment, or the other is for blessing. When He visits, the day of visitation is usually with reference to either blessing or cursing. Judgment or blessing. In the Old Testament, God visited man in a number of different ways, but basically for two reasons. Either for judgment or for blessing. Notice in Isaiah 10 and 3, the question is asked, "And what will ye do in the day of visitation? And in desolation, which shall come from afar, to which will ye flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory?" This obviously is a reference to judgment. God was coming upon Israel to judge them. And that day that He visited Israel was a day of judgment. Notice on Jeremiah chapter 27 and verse 22. There we find God visits not to judge, but to bless, for deliverance, for rescue, for salvation. When you look in the Old Testament, the word day of visitation is sometimes used for judgment, and sometimes is a visit for blessing. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we know that God visited Hannah and opened her womb, and it rescued her from barrenness. And it was a visit for blessing. So the Bible in the Old Testament uses this phrase for a visit for judgment or a visit for blessing. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 68, when you look in the New Testament, it's typically used with reference to redemption. God visits to redeem, visits to deliver, visits to save. There in Luke chapter 1 and verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Why has He come? He has come to visit us to do what? To accomplish redemption." The visit of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, was to provide redemption. And we can go on through the gospel according to Luke. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 16, we also read of a similar verse with regard to Christ, how that God has visited His people. And obviously that visitation was to redeem them. Christ came to redeem His people. His presence, His visitation was to redeem. And I believe if you look in this verse, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 12, you're going to note it. I believe that's the same usage that Peter is having reference to. That the people of God living the Christian life will bring about an effect upon those that hear the gospel, that when they get saved, when they are redeemed, they will glorify God in the day of their visitation. Now this is important when we start examining these verses in the New Testament. And it seems like it inherently is having reference to the expression of salvation, the visitation in salvation. I still contend that there must be a visitation from the Lord when you get saved. Okay? A visitation from the Lord. Certainly, there's a visitation of the Lord when you get saved. Now, these two aspects of the day of visitation are very important. One is with regard to judgment, the other with regard to mercy. One with regard to retribution, the other with regard to grace. So we have judgment and retribution on one hand, the two forms of visitation, and on the other hand, mercy and grace. Now, let's talk just a few minutes about the prevailing certainty of the Lord's visitation in salvation. When we think about a visit from the Lord to help or to aid or redeem, first of all, the sinner needs salvation. There is a need of salvation. It is producing our sins produces a need for a visit from the Lord. We need a visit from the Lord to give us grace. We need a visit from the Lord to give us mercy. Sinners need Christ to come and deliver them. Folks, we can't deliver ourselves. We must be delivered by the Lord. If the Son sets you're free indeed. And the only way you can be set free from your captivity of sin is by the Son coming and setting you free. Now, there are many references to this deliverance that we could look at in the New Testament. I know this, that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it makes it real clear that the only way you can ever have access to God is through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between man and God, and it is the man Christ Jesus. So if you ever get to God for the forgiveness of sin, you must come through the Savior. He's the only mediator. So this prevailing certainty that sinners need Christ to visit them with mercy. And the unsaved need the help of Christ to get saved. Does that make sense? Huh? Yeah. You can't save yourself. Sinners need Christ to set them free. You'll never be set free from the guilt and the condemnation that you feel within your soul till the Son sets you free. All right, so sinners need deliverance. They can't deliver themselves from sin. They can't remove their own chains. They need the great high priest. Amen? Yeah, what does it mean to have a high priest? That means you must access God through him. And he is the only way you can have access to God. He has the atonement for your sins, right? Jesus has the atonement for your sins. It is by the shedding of his blood that we are redeemed. You can't be free from sin or cleansed from sin until the blood of Jesus has been granted unto you. Amen? Yeah, granted unto you. He is the one that sprinkled the mercy seat. He's the one that opened access for us to reach God. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, another good verse, it talks about Christ being the high priest of good things to come. Sinners need an advocate. They need a high priest. They need a mediator. They need a propitiator. They need one that would bring them close to God and bring them nigh unto God. And listen, Christ can bring you nigh unto God. He is the only one that can bring that deliverance that you need to have access to a holy God. So we need Christ. Sinners need Christ. Amen? Sinners need Christ. So there's a prevailing certainty concerning a day of visitation. You know, sin's reigned in our lives, and Satan has ruled our lives. Repentance creates a desire, produces a desire for a change. One of the things we notice about a day of visitation is that when the Lord visits you, there will be a change. A change. When the Lord visits, things change. I remember when I was young and a bunch of us would get together and my parents would get together with my cousins, and we would all go in the wintertime, we would all go play in the basement. And sometimes we'd get rowdy. I mean, we'd get real rowdy. And we sound like we're tearing down the walls. I could tell you some of the stuff we were doing, but I'm a little ashamed. But my mom would come to the door going down the steps, and she said, "Don't make me come down there." I knew if she came, she was coming in wrath and judgment. Okay? And all of us were going to get in trouble. She'd just whoop every one of us if she needed to. Things were going to change. If she came down there, things were going to change. And there are other times where I have cried out to my mother. When I was a young boy, hurt. When I was very young, I was about 4 or 5, I broke my right arm. We were scuffling. Me and the neighbor boy, we were fighting. He threw me down a hill and I broke my arm. I remember laying at the bottom of that hill crying out to my mom for help. And she came to my side to provide aid and love and nurturing and assistance and help to get healing for that broken arm. There are two ways the Lord comes. And I tell you, when He comes, things change. He comes in judgment and He comes in mercy. And sinners need mercy. But if they don't find mercy in this life, He will come in judgment. Will come in judgment. In repentance, we learn to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. We desire Christ to visit us. Amen? I mean, when you're under conviction and you're turning from sin, you know you need a visit from the Lord to be cleansed of your sins, to be set free from them, to be born from above. In Colossians 1 and 27, there's another verse I want us to consider, Colossians 1 and 27. You'll never have the hope of heaven unless the Lord visits you. He comes and instills a hope of glory. The dismal life that we will live apart from Him in our sinfulness is changed, and we receive a hope of glory. Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory and this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to desire that. You need that hope of glory. When you get saved, you will know you're going to heaven. Amen? You'll have a hope of eternal life. You'll have a hope of glory, of heaven. Listen, that hope must be instilled in you by the presence and visitation of Jesus Christ. You'll never know you're saved for sure unless the Lord comes on the scene and assures you of the hope of glory. The hope of glory is, everybody say, Christ in me. Christ in us, yes. Christ in you. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. So we need that visitation. There are other verses. How that we're begotten to a lively hope. Born again. Born to the Spirit. But this is the foretaste of heaven, right? This is the embryo of glory. When the presence of Christ, the visitation of Christ that assures us that we're going to heaven. Do you remember when you met the Lord? When you met the Lord? Huh? When you met Him with mercy and He gave you grace? When I met the Lord. Oh, do you remember that day when you met the Lord? Well, I got saved when I was 10 years old. I can take you to the place, I can tell you the time when I met Him. When He visited me in my sins and He washed me and cleansed me, provided me mercy and healing and help. Sinners need help, amen? And the Lord has to show up to help them. Churches can't save them. Preachers can't save them. Parents can't save them. They need the Lord to save them. They need deliverance from the Lord. They need a day of visitation, a day of salvation, in a day of deliverance. But there are various circumstances when the Lord shows up. That's not the only time the Lord showed up in my life. There's been other times. There's been times that He's come and changed me and conformed me, helped to conform me. Salvation's the first part, but sanctification's the other part, right? Where you are conformed, as we read in Romans chapter 8, to the image. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, where we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now we believe that Christ will come in judgment, and He does come in judgment. He comes in retribution. He will come to destroy this world at His second coming. Amen? There'll be a day of visitation. But we also believe that He comes and He still visits His people. Christ still visits His people. John chapter 14 and verse 18. He told the church, "I will not leave you comfortless." He said, "I will come to you." And He comes. And the Holy Ghost came. And it came in the name of Jesus. And it came and testified of Jesus. And Jesus said, "When the Holy Ghost comes, it'll be me." Right? It'll be me. It'll be me. So Christ comes to us in various circumstances of our life through the Holy Spirit. Christ comes to us with mercy and grace when we get saved. He comes after we get saved with the same mercy and grace. Amen? He comes and He sups with us, fellowships with us. He meets with His church. He told the seven churches of Asia, He said, "I'm going to come, I'm going to visit you. I'm going to come quickly and I'll visit you." Some of them He told He would visit with discipline and chastisement. Some He said He would come and visit them and help them in the hour of their temptation. And He would deliver them in the hour of their need. The Lord showing up, not just to save us, but to deliver us, is important. Very important. When He shows up, He conforms us to His image. I still contend I'm the clay and He's the potter. That the potter comes and He shapes us. He visits us and He shapes us into vessels of honor, right? He does. He sure does. He is both the author and the finisher of our faith. He is still our head. In Him we live. We grow in our Christian life by the presence of the Lord. By His visits in our lives. Not only do we have a day of visitation positionally when He conforms us to the image of His Son as we live the Christian life, but we have the capacity to serve the Lord by His visits. We can't serve the Lord in the energy of the flesh. We need His help. Amen? Yes, the Lord, He comes on the scene and He helps us live the Christian life. He invigorates us, encourages us. The presence of the Lord encourages us. Just like when He was with them on the road of Emmaus, their hearts burned within them. Not just by His teaching of the New Testament, but also by His presence. He invigorates us. Graces of His Spirit within us. Sometimes we talk about absence makes the heart grow fonder. Not in this case. Not when it comes to Jesus. Okay. Absence doesn't make the heart grow fonder. It makes the heart grow colder. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
We need the Lord's presence to increase our faith. To inflame our love, to brighten our hope, to enlarge our desires, to expand our heart, to adore the Lord more, to be humble and meek and patient and tender and gentle and ultimately convey the divine nature. You need a visitation from the Lord. You need to walk in the Spirit. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, I'm providing you cross references for each one of these points. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches," right? You got to abide in me. You can't bring forth any fruit unless you abide in the Lord. And the reason we have fruitless Christians is because of their lack of connection with the Lord. Yeah. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. Yeah. How does this thing work? By being in Christ and Christ in you, by the visits of the Lord and the presence of the Lord in your life, abiding in him and he in you, there will be much fruit. Much fruit. He went on and said, for without me, you can do nothing. John 15 and 5. St. John 15 and 5. That holy desire of duty, we'll never engage that until we have a visitation from the Lord. Now, that thing that inspires us to have pure motives, it comes from the Lord. Okay? It comes from the Lord. To have that singleness of heart, like the Bible talks about, like in Sunday school, man, you need the Lord. His presence, and it enables us to do His will. We need His holy sway over our lives to brighten every thought, to encourage our hearts, to expand our souls, to enlarge our desires in service unto Him and to live for Him. We need His visitation. When that happens, His commandments aren't even grievous. No. We bring every thought in subjection to His will and His word. Yeah. We try to extend His cause. We devote our talents and influence to His cause. Everything will be unsuccessful without Christ's blessing and His presence. We need His presence upon our lives. So we have prevailing certainty that sinners need to be saved. We teach as a church that when you hear the gospel, all sinner, you need a visitation. You need more than us. You need a visitation from the Lord. And after you get saved, positionally you're in Christ, but you're still going to need a conformity to the image of Christ, and we can't do that. You can only get that from the Lord. Thirdly, we can't render any service to God. It's not within our capacity to do it on our own. We need Christ with us and in us. We need to be plugged into Him, for without Him we can do nothing. Fourthly, a day of visitation. And I'm not going to get to all this. I won't keep you very long. But within the community of believers, the place where we meet and worship, we need the Lord to show up. I'm thankful for my experiences in ministry and in service to the Lord. And the experiences I've had in worship and in church services, revival meetings. There's been days of visitation that we've experienced from the Lord. Souls saved, hearts enlarged. My generation has received some great visitations from the Lord. But those ashes of the past won't do for the present. And let me tell you, the younger generation, those are that younger than me,
you're going to have to receive your own visitation from the Lord. Okay. Mine won't work for you. You need a day of visitation where He conforms you to the image of His Son, where He conforms you to serve and work for the Lord and live for the Lord. You need His visitation to live for the Lord, to stay true to the Lord. You need a visitation from Him. And when we come together to worship, I still contend that believers love to come together and worship. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Believers like going to church and going to the house of the Lord. It's His delight, the believer's delight. It's a preferred place above all other places. It's a preferred place above all other places. We love meeting together. I love coming together and singing songs and hearing the preaching of His Word and all those things associated with going to church, but that's not enough. At times we think, well, if we have a good crowd, the crowd's low today with all the people out, we have good singing, we have good preaching, everything's great. Right? That's not enough. We need the Lord to visit with us. I mentioned earlier what Jesus said, if two or three gather in My name, I will visit them. I'll be in the midst of them. And that's what true worship is. True worship is when the Lord shows up. More than a speech, a motivational speech. I mean, that's what most people are getting today, right? A good motivational speech, some good showtime entertainment. A good offering to keep things going. But folks, listen to me. Church is more than that. Worship is more than that. Worship is when the Lord comes down and blesses our soul. Amen. It's when on Monday morning people can tell you've been with Jesus. People can tell you've been with Jesus. That's what happened in the New Testament. They could tell that these folks had been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Our growing and prosperity as a church depends not on me, not on you altogether, but it depends upon the presence of Christ. Depends on the presence of Christ. Let me close. One final aspect of this visitation, not just the place and community of worship, but some personal complexities. Personal complexities. We had prevailing certainty that people can be saved and must have a prevailing certainty that they've been saved by the visitation of the Lord. It's by the visitation of the Lord there's a conformity, positional conformity in the image of Christ. By a visitation of the Lord, a day of visitation, we are able to serve the Lord, have the capacity. It is the primary capacity by which we serve the Lord, by Him coming and by His visitation. We need days of visitation when we come together in a community of believers to worship. In our place of worship, we need days of visitation where the Lord comes down. And lastly, in times of complexity and difficulty, when you're going through temptation, you need Christ to keep you sound. When you're going through trouble, you know, there's times, I mean, people call me, they have needs, they have difficulties, they have struggles, they've lost loved ones, and I want to help. I really do. Oh, I want to help them so bad. I want to relieve their sorrows and their pains. I want to comfort them and console them and give them peace, but I'm not the one that can do that.
When you're going through trouble, you don't need me, you need the Lord.
Now, I know a lot of churches, they've substituted the day of visitation with counselors. They have a staff of counselors, and you have trouble, go to the counselor. I'm not against getting counsel when you need it, but I'm saying ultimately it boils down to when we are in distress and in trouble, we need to cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Him for help.
If you're carrying a burden that you just cannot bear, Christ cares for you. Amen? He can relieve your pain and your suffering and your trial. He's always the fourth man in the fire. Amen? And that right, Jeff, you did a good job this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. More importantly, I'm thankful for that day of visitation that he received from the Lord. You know, I really like to see some people get fixed. You know, and get inspired. Get zealous. But I know I can't do that. Only one that can do that is the Lord. And when He shows up, He'll inspire zeal. Amen? He'll motivate us and encourage us and help us get where we need to be. I can't set people free from their captivities, but Christ can.
When you go through difficult times, great complexity, if there's a storm in your life, I know a man who can calm the storms. And it's Jesus. Yeah, it's Jesus. Well, let's sing a song. Personally, at some time or another, you're going to need Him. You're going to be going through some trial. And these visitations that we receive in life, in our Christian walk, if He visits us all along the way in our trials, in our troubles, in our gladness, in our sorrow, if He helps us along the way as we live the Christian life, I assure you that when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, He'll show up. Boy, I tell you, you need a visit when you die. Amen? Your family will need a visit from the Lord in your absence. Won't they? You'll want the Lord to show up and help them. If you lose a spouse or a child, you know what you need? I'll tell you what people will tell you that's experienced that. You need the Lord's help through it. Amen? You need the Lord's help. Stand on your feet. God bless you. I hope that you receive a visit from the Lord. There's been many times in my life that He's come and He's visited me. In worship, in complexity, in difficulty. Visit me personally and privately in various ways to help me grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. In my sanctification, He's helped me through many trials and difficulties by just simply showing up, giving me great courage to fight the fight by His very presence. By His presence. And I hope you've experienced that in your life. If you haven't, if you're not, if it's been a while since you received a visit from the Lord, you need to pray. And invite Him to come. Invite Him to come. Years ago, when I was doing a work down in Florida, occasionally we'd have people just drop in on us. When I was holding services down there, look, folks, I preached to two people for 2 years. Small crowds don't bother me. What bothers me is if I'm in the center of God's will and whether the Lord can show up. Anyway, people would drop in and they would just show up. Unannounced. And of course, I felt like I needed to invite them home.
And I did. And my wife got upset with me numerous times. I'd tell her, I'd say, well, you just go ahead, because we didn't have a dishwasher back then, and dishes would be piled up in the sink from that morning. She'd run, she'd get all those dishes, put them in the pan, and put them in the oven. Y'all ever done that? Trying to hide the dirty dishes? Because people coming over. People were coming over. Yeah. You know what starts happening when the Lord shows up? The filth and the dirt in your life is exposed. And you can't cover it up before in front of him, before him. You got to get it fixed. Amen? So as we sing, I pray the Lord visits you today. There may be some young people. Children, listen to me. This may be your day. The Lord visits you. Oh, listen. If He's visiting you right now, if He's visiting you right now, making things aware, making things clear, revealing things to you in your own soul, you need to be saved. This altar's open. You can call the Lord and be saved today. Hold on a minute. I want to read a verse of Scripture taken from Luke chapter 19 and verse 44. Jesus was speaking about the judgment and the calamity that was going to come upon Israel. And He says in this verse, He said there won't be one stone standing upon another. He's talking about Jerusalem. And He says, verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Why was this judgment coming? Why was destruction coming? Why was damnation coming? The last part of this verse. Because thou knewest not the time of your visitation. The time of deliverance was available. The time of salvation. But it was rejected. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected the invitation of Jesus Christ, and judgment fell on them, and fell on them hard. And sinner friend, the same thing will happen to you. You reject Christ when He's visiting you, and calamity and damnation will follow. Amen? They rejected Christ. They had opportunity to be delivered. Salvation was available, and they rejected it. The Lord was visiting them with deliverance and redemption and salvation. They turned it away. Judgment fell. Judgment fell hard. And sinner friend, don't let that happen to you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that He's visiting you. It's your time. It's your day. He's coming and knocking on your heart. Don't spur that. Fall before Him. Find salvation and redemption before it's too late. God have mercy on you. And God forgive you. And help you to see He's here. The Lord is here. And the Lord wants to save. He must visit you. Undoubtedly, undeniably, there has to be a visitation for you to be saved. He wants to redeem you and save you today.